going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Will Shedeur Sanders be a good pro? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's the question on everyone's mind, Perloff, because quite frankly, it's the biggest question of the draft. How high is he going to go? Top 5, top 10? Teams think he's going to be very good in the NFL. Not in the first round or late in the first round. Well, obviously, then the questions would be major.
Well, reports came out this weekend. I saw on ESPN a couple people, Jeremy Fowler, who follows these teams really closely, said the Saints are likely not interested in Shedeur. I'm like, what is going on here? And then a lot of people, including Adam Schefter, said the Steelers aren't sure about Shedeur. What is going on? So if that's the case, or on the other hand, he could go 3, or someone could trade up to them. Now, I do understand the Steelers and Shedeur has always been a bit of a funny marriage to me.
Why?
Because do they run an offense that accentuates Shedeur's strengths? I think Shedeur has to be in a very specific offense. You know, you have DK Metcalf and George Pickens. Those guys are going to bomb down the field, and you need a big arm guy, kind of, I think, a Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
Where Shedeur seems more like, oh, he can run more of a fine-tuned offense, like a Kirk Cousins or a West Coast offense. I always think of Bruce Arians and the big, strong-arm Steelers quarterback, a huge guy who can endure the winners in Pittsburgh. That, to me, that's not Shedeur Sanders. So I always thought that was a bit of a funny fit, but it does logically make sense as well because they do need a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think can't you do a little bit of, like, are you really going to have it under Arthur Smith? Let's just take this from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are you really having a bombs away offense? Like, I know you traded for DK Metcalf. You want to have a bombs away offense, but I don't think they've ever done that.
But that's all they've done. And their history is, you know, they're famous for having these vertical receivers.
No,
and there's no
history,
Jubal, DK and George Pickens. No, Arthur Smith
not
has not
with Arthur
done.
Smith. That's
Arthur Smith has not done that. But that, I'm saying historically, also you need a big quarterback to cut through the weather there. I've actually heard many people say Shedeur would be better served to go to New Orleans or Las Vegas or an indoor team because he doesn't have that massive arm to cut through the wind. So that's another reason, like, Pittsburgh's not as great a marriage. Say New Orleans to me feels better because they're indoors, but is their team ready for Shedeur? There's all sorts of, you can squint and see Shedeur fits here, or you can say, a lot of reasons why certain teams would not take Shedeur as well.
I mean, I know that Colorado is high altitude, so it helps a lot there in terms of being able to cut through or big bomb passes or what have you, but the weather still stinks. Like, he seemed to be fine in bad weather. I'm not so worried about him.
I'm picturing the Colorado games. He didn't get that much bad weather there.
Well, I mean, it's not like he was playing in UCLA, you know? I guess...
But would you rather, if you're thinking about Shedeur-style play... Wouldn't you rather see him, if you're Deion, for example, wouldn't you rather have him in New Orleans or Dallas or somewhere where they play indoors? I think that's a big advantage for a quarterback. The classic example, Drew Brees would not have been the Drew Brees if he played outdoors.
Okay, that's fine. But if you are playing for, maybe the Saints, because then you also have other teams, and even the outdoor teams are more warm weather teams, right? So if you're outside of Tampa and you're going outside to Carolina, the worst you're going to get is rain. It's not going to be anything like snow. But if you are, you know... like, if you are playing, say it was the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know why it would be, but say it was the Dallas Cowboys and this whole thing, we're just living in a simulation that Jerry Jones has created for us and somehow Shador's a Cowboy. You still got to go win in Philadelphia.
Yep.
You got to go win in New York and you got to go win in D.C.
Well, that's why these warm weather quarterbacks always bomb out in the playoffs. That's why Peyton and Breeze were so disappointing for large chunks of their playoff career, because then they had to go outside and face Tom Brady. There is a school of thought that warm weather and dome quarterbacks are not great in the postseason for that exact reason, because late in the year, you need Patrick Mahomes who could throw through a wall.
I want to get replay just quickly, cut about Shador Sanders from our guest from an hour ago, Quincy Avery, who's a quarterback guru who's trained up everybody from Patrick Mahomes to Jalen Hurts to, I mean, everyone. He's worked with over 300 quarterbacks, and he had something interesting to say about Shador. I asked if the traits that he showed in college will translate to the NFL. Quincy was not convinced.
We've never seen a quarterback go in the first round who was really limited in terms of traits. So I don't see the translations, the translation in terms of the things that he did in college, working in the NFL, throwing the football before a guy comes out of his break, seeing what a defense is doing pre-snap, which allows me to go to the line of scrimmage with a really good plan. It's difficult when you're not athletic enough to run around and create plays. Like, Shador's probably a 5'1", 5'2 quarterback.
Yeah, so basically saying, you know, we saw him run around in college, but Quincy's saying he's going to get chased down by much faster defensive players in the NFL. And a lot of throws at or behind the line of scrimmage, not with a lot of anticipation. Listen, I've been high on Shador. I feel like we watched him in college be good and would translate to the next level. But Quincy does this for a living, Perloff, and he was not very high on Shador.
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated with Shador. Our buddy, when Lance Zierlein said the same exact thing and put him at 29, everyone's like, what are you doing? What about the production of Colorado? You're right. Quincy knows more than me. I do disagree. I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, we saw him play at Colorado. You honestly think his arm is like, I don't know what 5'1 it means exactly, but I saw him throw a lot of pretty good passes at Colorado. So I'm not sure. He knows more than me, but I would say talent-wise, he's closer to first round.
Do you believe in that?
I personally think, but I mean, maybe I'm not seeing it.
Or maybe we're all getting fooled here. I just find it hard to believe that he is going to fall past New Orleans, not just for you know, the idea that maybe the traits or whatever, but look at what's going on in New Orleans, guys. Have you been following the Derek Carr situation? It is a mess over there.
This is a problem. Like, should they need talent everywhere? I mean, their talent players they do have are ancient.
No, I get it. Ryan Ramchick just retired. I understand what's going on.
You need so many different players. I do a show bet. If Shador's sitting there, I'll bet you they go O-line over him.
Oh, I'll take that show bet. I'll buy you breakfast because I think that he's not falling past. If New Orleans is sitting there at 9, they haven't traded out of the pick, I think he's not going past New Orleans, because there's another part of this that I feel confident about. We can talk about Shador, the traits, the on-field, all that stuff. There is a part of this which plays into the draft, which is owners and ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Jersey sales, being exciting, being relevant again. All of that is in the mix when it comes to Shador and New Orleans. And I would say the same thing about Las Vegas, even though the Raiders have like this, you know, national fan base and they have this lore of the past and all of that. I still think Las Vegas is still in play. So
I think they're same situation, and you make good points. I totally understand what you're saying. Just both teams, they need so much help. Like the opportunity. Oh my God. Imagine the player that could float down to 6. You're not going to take Ashton Jeanty so you can have a backup quarterback.
Well, back up for a year and then be my starter. Yeah, definitely. Come on. Running backs, like, I
Geno's
love drafting them high,
Geno's,
but come on.
Geno Smith's 34. I think that's a huge risk.
Let's go to the phones. 888-710-4ISN. Joe is in San Francisco, wants to talk about Shador Sanders. Good morning, Joe.
How you doing this morning?
We're doing great.
Hey, I think the Avery guy probably do a good job, but I also think that the door, you know, played up to the strength of his team. So if, you know, he's saying he don't get the ball out in time, but if the play don't develop, he got to wait. He just can't throw the ball downfield and the play ain't developed yet. So, you know, you got to give him a chance to develop in the NFL. I think he got the NFL tools. It's going to depend on where he go and, you know, who his quarterback coach is and you know, stuff like that. But I think he's a top five pick. You know, I think that dude got it wrong.
Joe, I'm with you. I think top five, not any lower than top 10 for Shador. And I think there's also, like, so to be fair, Avery not very high on Jalen Milroe and also not very high on Tyler Shough.
Yeah.
So I just think he doesn't see this as a very good class.
Yeah, he said Tyler Shuck's getting pushed up by demand.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a lot of sense.
And I think the same thing's going to happen to Shador.
But I tell you, we watched a ton of Tyler Shough through the years, and nobody ever said, wow, that guy's a first round pick. It just was not a thing. So yeah, I the one guy I got to, I think we see very differently. I think people are going to scout Jalen Milroe based on last year, and there's going to be some excitement about him. I think he could go
not last year, 2 years ago,
2 years, right? Yeah. Well, last year, sorry, not this season, but the season before.
Sure.
And I think there's a great chance that he goes in that 32, 33, 34 range. I think, which is basically a first rounder. I mean, for all intents and purposes. Here's a question. Say, in my scenario, Shador does fall past 21 in the Steelers.
Okay.
The Giants and the Browns, do those two teams, I think then there's, if that did happen, it'd be surprising if he fell past 21, the Giants will definitely move a pick to trade up for him because they've been interested in him from day one. How many times have we seen pictures of Joe Shane at Boulder, Colorado, the GM? So they're clearly, that's an obvious trade-up situation to me. If somehow he does fall past 21, the Giants and probably the Browns have to move up.
I think that the Giants, who are sitting at three, I think would love the idea because these guys are so much on the hot seat, and I do think they are. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are on the hot seat. I think that they love the idea of coming out of this on Friday, and they're the story in a positive way. It's like they got two guys, right? They would have gotten Abdul Carter, and they also would have gotten Shador. Like, how do you really criticize that? I think at this point, they're in a fight for, like, the back pages, the hearts and minds, whatever you want to say. New York, it's a very, like, PR.
I don't buy any of that. They're totally going down wins or losses. Does anybody care about any of that stuff?
I mean, until we get to the wins and loss part of the season, like, to get some positive momentum going for the offseason. That's what I'm talking
Is that really
about.
Important there? I mean, I
think the Giants are a bad organization, so I do think unimportant things matter to them. Sorry, Manny.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay.
They're not a bad organization. They're just a not successful one lately.
Yeah. I don't know. You know,
it's interesting. Maybe do that nicely.
Cleveland, their offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese, was Jalen Milroe's offensive coordinator as a junior. So that's an interesting little connection. At 33 I think there's a chance. We're basically talking about a bunch of second-round quarterbacks who could go in the first round. That's exactly what this draft is.
And that's Tyler Shough,
Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart's not really a first-round quarterback. In a normal draft, probably last year he would not have been. But that's a name, by the way, we're not even mentioning here. He could slip ahead of Shador. Who knows?
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Do you think Shador Sanders is going to be a good pro? It's very early on in the voting at M&P. Maggie and Pearl on X. What is better, Easter candy, Halloween candy right now, dead heat? 50-50. Now, it's very early. Don't say how many votes are.
That's not even worth a poll. That's ridiculous.
Right now, it's 50-50.
Easter candy's better than Halloween candy? All right. How many? Are there two votes in?
No. Slightly more than two.
I like the AI graphic that Kaplan replied with right under. It's like almost like a Mortal Kombat type of Easter Bunny going up against a demonic-looking werewolf or something.
No, that's a cool skeleton. I like it. Yeah, you can go to @Maggie and Pearl. Man, Kaplan's so quick on these things. He's this talented dude. Okay, so you can go vote there.
I want to be like him when I grow up.
Halloween candy is the one. I want to get to another thing too that came across our I don't know lives this weekend. Is it time to panic in LA after the Lakers loss? What do you think the public thinks about that?
I would say 54% say yes.
You're close. 52% say yes.
Ooh,
I mean, game one, guys. Like, it's game one.
Oh my god, they scored 95 points.
Well, that could change. Luka's got to have more than one assist. How about that?
Yeah. I would say probably 80% of their points came on off-arm push-offs by LeBron and Luka. They basically had nowhere. Since there was no movement to the offense, the only thing they could do was come down low and push off with their arm and shove a guy and use their strength. There was no ball movement. Nothing was easy for them. You're right. So they have to fix that.
All things that are fixable and things you can change. And before game two, which is tomorrow, and I don't think that the Timberwolves are going to shoot 50% from three.
But what about the Timberwolves' gigantic advantage in the paint? That's still going to be there. They killed them in the paint. They killed them in rebounding and points in the paint.
Well, this is how this is life with a smaller lineup. That's the adjustment. This is why J.J. Redick and LeBron's mind, and they're all going to have to put their heads together and figure out how to do this.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, it's also the energy. Can you recover?
That you can fix.
I don't know. I feel like the T-Wolves are just raring to go. Anthony Edwards is 23. Naz Reid's 24. Like, they are chomping at the bit. I know Luka is only 26, but he feels like he's been in the playoffs forever. Feels like the T-Wolves are hungrier. Is that possible?
See, I think that's one of those things that changes immediately with a Lakers win, because now you have the Timberwolves maybe feeling themselves a little bit, still a little bit young, hanging out in LA the last 2 days. I just think I could see them having a bit of a step back. Like, they kind of came, they did what they needed to do. They stole home court away from the Lakers by winning this first game. And, you know, I think there's a natural relaxation that happens.
That could be. I mean, Jaden McDaniels never has a game like that offensively. He couldn't miss. So we'll see. But they just have a lot of wing defenders. They seem like a great matchup for LA as far as for Minnesota.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We got a couple things out there for you. Number one, do you think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a good pro? And two, is it time to panic for the LA Lakers? Have they really met their match here with the Minnesota Timberwolves? Quickly, Mike's in South Bend. Mike, you have an idea for the New York Giants that you wanted to tell us about.
Yes, I think that the Giants could get Abdul Carter as well as Shedeur Sanders.
Okay. Take Abdul Carter at three.
I think that they can take Abdul Carter at three. Then trade Dexter Lawrence for a late first round draft pick, and then take Shedeur later in the first round.
Ooh.
Why would you want to trade Dexter Lawrence?
Yeah, give him to my Eagles at 32.
Don't give him to the Eagles.
You have Abdul Carter as your pass rusher.
Yeah, but Lawrence is inside.
Yeah,
you have,
Lawrence a run stopper.
Thibodeau's the one who everyone says is going to get traded on draft night. Kayvon Thibodeau. Which could work, too.
Which,
so
by the way,
trade him also.
Mike, thank you for the call. Here's the thing, though, about trading Kayvon Thibodeau. This is the same regime that drafted Kayvon Thibodeau, is it not?
So what?
You're going to give up on the guy? He was...
100,000%. Why not?
Because you're admitting that you made a gigantic mistake.
Called sunk costs. Every list of guys who get traded on draft night, Kayvon Thibodeau is number one on that list. Because you're going to get Abdul Carter, you're going to have to pay Kayvon at some point. So I think you basically solve that problem and not having to pay Kayvon. You maybe get a second round pick or something. I mean, he's got a lot of value. So.
Oh, man. I think that if you guys are not thinking about the real life aspect of this, you're a GM on the hot seat. You're going to trade a guy that you just drafted in the first round, three years ago?
But
2022 draft?
I mean, if anyone's getting traded in this draft.
Fifth overall pick?
Isn't he the most likely player in the entire NFL to get dealt on Thursday?
I think A.J. Brown is likely to get
dealt. The Eagles came out and said, Schefter said that there's 0%.
There's 0%?
A.J. Brown at number four, that trade that the all weekend.
No, A.J. Well, yeah, to the Patriots? Yeah, it's not going to be that high.
I think an Eagles super fan wrote that trade. But really, A.J. Brown would go to number four, and the Eagles would get, I can't remember who the Eagles were going to take, somebody ridiculous. There's no way that trade was happening. So, no, A.J. Brown's not going anywhere. It's going to be Kayvon, and there are a couple other players. But forget that you drafted him. You're about to draft Abdul Carter. If you could get Shedeur out of this deal, what's the point of having Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Abdul Carter?
Because you're trying to recreate the Giants of 07 and 11, NASCAR lines. You're trying to actually get back into an identity of what Giants football is, which is stifling defense and making it work on offense. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No. I'm just saying the problem is you have to pay Thibodeau coming up. And the fact that they drafted him, I don't think that's a big enough reason to do it, because, I mean, they want to draft Abdul Carter, and they don't want to sit there and teams are going to look at them and say, why do you have the same player three times on your line? Yeah. I think that's a criticism that they're very worried about in New York.
The criticism of trading a guy who took fifth overall to get a second round pick back, I don't know about that. 888-710-4ISN. Okay, lots to take care of here with the draft. It's draft week. We're excited about it. Coming up next, though, we have one of the ultimate dilemmas that you could find yourself in when it comes to sports. Ultimate. What side of this are you going to fall on? We'll explain it all next. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. If you want to send your Eagles trade up to number 4 and draft Abdul Carter trade rumors to the show, I will take them. Oh, my God. Can you imagine that trade? That would never happen in a million years, but it was the talk of the town this weekend that A.J. Brown, the receiver, would be reunited with Mike Vrabel in New England, and the Eagles would get the number 4 pick.
Yeah.
4, Maggie.
No, it's way too rich. I mean, the guy's making a $30 million. You're not getting traded. There's no way that trade's happening for the number 4 pick. But I did see A.J. Brown was messing around on social media, yeah, and he brought out a Patriots 11 jersey. And he's like, how does this look? How does this look? And then he turns around as Julian Edelman had sent it to him. And he's like, I play too much. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure Eagles fans are going to love this. But you guys just won a Super Bowl, so he's got, I guess, carte blanche to
mess around.
Do whatever he wants.
I would trade Devontae Smith for their second round pick. I would do that. They need a receiver. They're on the market. New England.
Yeah, New England does.
Yeah, so I think somebody, some veteran laden team is going to try and take advantage of New England.
Anyway, the reason why we brought this up is not because Perloff's an Eagles fan and not because of that, but you said that Kayvon Thibodeau of the Giants is the person most likely to get traded on draft night. I don't think that's true, but the Giants are far more interesting for draft purposes than the Philadelphia Eagles are right now because the Giants have the third overall pick and they need a quarterback. And they could possibly trade Kayvon Thibodeau, which would be a massive about-face for the same regime who just took him fifth overall in 2022. I don't think this regime can be owning up to those kind of mistakes right now. The Daniel Jones mistake was already massive enough. A lot of people don't survive that. Yeah. To then also double down and say, and we made a mistake on Kayvon Thibodeau, and we're going to try to draft our way out of this, that's not good.
Adam Schefter put out a big Intel column this morning. It's already getting a lot of play on social media. Here are his players on rookie contracts who could be deemed expendable. Number one, Will Levis. Yeah, I don't know what you're getting in a trade for that guy.
Do we need Adam Schefter for that?
Number two, Treylon Burks.
For that.
There's got to be better things he can do with his time.
Number two, but this here's where it gets interesting. Treylon Burks, number two, wide receiver Titans. Number three, Kayvon Thibodeau. Number four, Evan Neal, offensive lineman Giants. Number five, Jalen Hyatt, wide receiver Giants. So it looks like, according to Schefter, the Giants are having a garage sale on their bad draft picks.
Oh, this is
Evan Neal, I believe, was a Gettleman pick. Was he not? The previous regime? You guys go through with that?
Evan Neal is pretty young. Is he really?
I don't know about that, Maggie.
Jalen Hyatt definitely is a Joe Shea pick.
He's definitely a Joe Shea pick. Anyway, okay.
I think it's crazy to think the Giants, to protect their image, would not trade Kayvon Thibodeau. Because the reality is, if you get something good for him, you got to think about that.
888-710-4ISN. I've got a philosophical question for you guys, and it came across courtesy of the Memphis Grizzlies, of all teams, who got absolutely boat raced in game one against Oklahoma City. They lost by 51 points, beyond embarrassing. But as John Morant said, only one game. Now, Kevin O'Connor, who covers the NBA, tweeted this out, and I thought this was an interesting kind of, I don't know, what side of this do you fall on? He said, I'd rather not make the playoffs than get destroyed like this. I do not agree with that. It is embarrassing to lose, and I know that the Grizzlies had to make it into the play-in game, and they lost to the Warriors, and then they were able to. Okay, they came in sort of the back door of this playoffs. However, I don't think it should ever be the right thing where you say, I don't want to make the postseason because I don't want to get embarrassed. Now, he went on to say there's a first-round draft pick implication. Take all that out. I'm just saying, would you rather, Perloff, your team miss the postseason than make it to the postseason and lose in the first round embarrassing?
100% miss the postseason. I don't need to sit there and get blown out by 50.
Yeah. One game, fine. You tell me the rest of the series is going to be like this?
Well, hopefully they don't lose by 50.
But
let's say it's a football thing.
You get swept and you lose every game by an average of 20.
Okay, but let's say it's a football thing. It's not a seven-game series. It's not hockey. Let's say your team sneaks in the playoffs, your football team, super excited, and then you lose 42-15.
Well, what if you're like an AFC South or NFC South team and your division stinks and you're 7-9 and you get in and then you lose by 30? There's nothing satisfying about that. To me, there's a no net benefit out of, when you shouldn't be there. Now, the Grizzlies should be there, by the way. They won a ton of games this year, and they have John Morant. But say if they just get blown out by 50 every game, I don't think there's a single Memphis fan who's going to be like, this was good.
Well, if they get blown out by 50 every game, then they might, we should got to bring up relegation, if they had that kind of thing.
Yeah,
firing your coach, 2 weeks before the playoffs begin may not have been a great idea.
The spirit of the question is, what it's going to look bad for Memphis in this hypothetical. It's going to look really bad. Honestly, especially in the NBA, there's no reason to care about being the. Who's the 8 seed in the East? Are they going to be like, wow, this was a good experience? Probably not.
It's the Miami Heat.
Yeah, playing the Cavs.
I can't imagine. I'm taking this from the fans' perspective. Yeah, it's painful in the moment. You don't want to get beat like that. And I'm thinking college football more in the NFL because sitting through a 4-game sweep, you're right. That sucks.
Football's different. You always got a shot.
You always
in one
have a
game.
Shot. Yeah. You're telling me you don't think that, let's say, I know Tennessee's been having a lot of other issues lately with the whole Nico Iamaleava thing, and he signs with UCLA. But, you're telling me they would rather, Josh Heupel would rather not make the college football playoff? They didn't know they were going to go to Ohio State and get blown out.
Different thing. First of all, there are only 12 college football teams. 12 out of, 145 in Division 1?
A large number, yeah.
It's 16 out of 30 in the NBA make it, and 20 make it in the play-in. That's 20 out of 30 teams. So we're talking about a much bigger accomplishment to get the college football playoff. I don't think and same with the NFL, but specifically the college football playoff. That's a huge accomplishment.
Well, the NFL is 14 out of 32?
Yeah, 14 out of 32. So that's what? Do the math here.
It's the lowest of the four pro sports. Lowest amount also, percentage-wise, NHL 16 out of 30. Well, 16 out of 32 now. They have 32 teams.
I just can't imagine saying I would have rather not made the playoffs even though we got blown out. That doesn't seem... And I'm saying if there's no draft implications or whatever, or that means you hang on to a coach you don't like, but to just like say, oh, I would rather have gone home a loser than even tried.
Well, the Sixers fans were stoked at the way the season ended for them. I know that sounds ridiculous, but they lost, what, 13 in a row or 12 or 13 in a row and got a high lottery grade. So I know that's about the lottery, but nobody in Philadelphia wanted to be the eighth or ninth seed in the East. Like, that was not a thing that anybody wanted.
Yeah, but that's also because you're playing with zero of your star players. Joel Embiid is gone. Paul George and Tyrese Maxey are all gone. For the Memphis Grizzlies, their guys are there.
Well, you could say Ja Morant's a little hurt, maybe.
Okay, but
yeah, he's
there.
Yeah, but then again, if you're going to get blown up by 50, usually your team's not in good shape. So, but it's the NFL and college are a little different. But then again, we have a lot of Steelers fans who call in and be like, I'm sick of this. I don't want to go to the wild card and get my butt kicked anymore.
888-710-4ISN. Would you rather your team, not just basketball or hockey, just any team, football especially, would you rather miss the playoffs or make the playoffs but get blown out? Because no one's going to say that about college hoops. You make the NCAA tournament, whether you lose by 30 or not, like you're excited.
Well, it reminds me a little bit of, remember when Notre Dame would turn down the bowl invitation? When they had off years, they're like, nah, we're good. Like, I do think there is sometimes there are unique cases where the energy is basically, I want to end the season. There's no reason to prolong this. And if this continues for Memphis, I mean, this can't continue for Memphis, right? They have to come close.
I bet I wouldn't be surprised if they're probably not going to win the next game. I think the way this is going to go is they're going to go down 0-3. Oklahoma City is going to naturally have a
gentleman sweep.
Yeah, I think they take a step back or whatever. And Memphis wins a game and then OKC wins it on their home floor, or maybe they do get swept.
Ja Morant could, the ankle might turn worse and he sits out and then it's over.
Then it's over.
But which is fine because guys get hurt.
CeeLo, what do you got?
Let me first correct myself because I was saying NFL was still the lowest number. Baseball still is actually, because with the expanded wild card, I was like, but it's six in each league, so it's 12 out of 30.
Yeah.
So that's actually still the lowest.
Baseball
number.
Is a big accomplishment.
Also, baseball is the biggest crapshoot, it seems, of all of them. Yeah. Although, if the Dodgers or Padres end up kind of going wire to wire here.
Stanley Cup playoffs has a tendency sometimes to those teams sneak in and get on a run. You get a hot goalie, you never know what can happen. But, yeah, certainly with baseball as well.
It'll probably be a bit different now with the two-game wild card series instead of the single wild card game.
Yes, but you still, as far as the number of teams, though. Right?
I mean, in terms of how... But you were saying in terms of the competitiveness, I think.
Oh, the competitiveness.
Because with the wild
card
games, it was any team, once you're in, you're in.
Yeah.
But now it's
going
to be harder for the smaller, lower seeds to get that far in.
Yes. Can I say one thing, too? I consider the play-in tournament the playoffs. I'm sorry. Like,
you know
who
does not?
The NBA.
NBA.
Yeah, but you know MLB has a one-game wild card. What's the difference?
Well, they did. Yeah. Now you got best
for a long time.
Best of three.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, we consider that the playoffs, so why didn't we consider the play-in? There's actually more playing games in the
wild. Ask Adam Silver.
Well, the other part,
I care what Adam Silver says. It's still the postseason.
Well, the thing that stinks about it is like, and forgive me, but like, so Steph Curry has this amazing play-in game, right? And he and Jimmy Butler both were really good. Where do those stats go?
It's funny you say that because I went to Steph's game log before, and it's like on
it's
ESPN usually. Yeah, play-in is separate from postseason, separate from regular season, separate from preseason.
It's the same with Basketball
it's his own
Reference.
Standalone. Yeah,
yeah, but I mean he's got. A lot of playoff games just really make a big difference in the big picture. He scored 32 or something.
I thought that was, I mean, amongst the many impressive games that he's had.
Just becomes an outlier. Like when he retires, hey, here's his postseason playoff career numbers.
And he was
here's his regular season career numbers and then a couple play-in games.
Now 1-3 in the play-in,
wedged in between.
Yeah, I'm not sure he wants his play-in numbers in that.
Maybe not. Three pretty decisive victories for the home teams in Sunday's NBA playoff action. Not so much for the Rockets, though, as they did hold the Warriors to 95 points, despite 31 from the aforementioned Steph Curry. But Houston went 6-for-29 from three-point range. They lose the game 95-85. Here's Steve Kerr on his two stars, beginning with Curry.
He was incredible. And, you know, with that type of pressure on him from Thompson and others, he just made some amazing plays.
Not to be outdone, Jimmy Butler, 25.6 assists, plus all of that veteran savvy and playoff experience now on Kerr's roster.
He always believes we're going to win. Jimmy is he's one of the best players in the league, and that's what the best players in the league do. It's not just about scoring or stats. It's about settling the game down.
Last word to Butler here, beginning his first playoff journey with Golden State. A lot of miles on his tires. Same for Curry and Draymond Green, but he says they don't feel that way.
We're still young. I mean, I think Steph is 37. I'm 35. Dre is like 35. But we got some young guns that also get it done as well.
So a good start for them. One of only two road teams to win this weekend, joined by the Timberwolves Saturday in Los Angeles. They took down the Lakers in game one of that series. Meantime, the Easter Sunday slate opened with a laugh in Oklahoma City, the aforementioned Thunder Grizzly game, 131-80. OKC was up 49 after three quarters, so not like they ran away with it down the stretch to the point where their leading scorer was Aaron Wiggins with 21 off the bench. So evenly dispersed was the scoring. In fact, Shea was actually on the bench when they really opened things up and took the bigger lead. Mark Dagno offering this about their opponent.
They played 36 hours ago and had an emotional game, had to turn around and play at noon today, which is a really tough turnaround. So they're going to be better, you know, Tuesday. So I thought we did a good job, but, you know, I don't think we can expect that.
I don't know if that's just to keep his team sharp, but you would think for Memphis, maybe they kind of batten down the hatches here a little bit and recover from, offer a better effort at least. Maybe not win the game, but a little better than 51 points.
I mean, if he had come out and been like, we're going to be by 60 next
right,
time,
yeah.
I wouldn't have believed that.
You also had the Cavs over the Heat, 121-100. Cleveland went fourth quarter. They won by 13, or outscored, I should say, Miami by 13 in the fourth, and the Celtics handled the Magic 103-86. Stanley Cup playoffs. You had the home teams prevailing on Sunday, I should say. Hurricanes over the Devils, 4-1. Maple Leafs beat the Senators, 6-2, and you had Vegas over the Minnesota Wild, 4-2. Earlier in the show, we covered the Max Fried no-hitter that wasn't after the official scoring change in the Yankees-Rays game, like three innings after they had a ground ball to first base that was bobbled, originally ruled an error, then they gave a hit as Fried took a no-hitter into the eighth inning. You also had the Aaron Judge situation where he had a what looked like a home run, originally called foul. They went to the video replay, and even though it looked like a clear fair ball, they did not overturn it. Here's how it sounded. You can take a couple things into account here. TV broadcast, and they're playing in a minor league park, and you have this gargantuan man at the plate, and the connection off the bat was quite solid.
Driven deep to left field. Fair ball, it's gone. It is a foul ball, just foul.
And on the replays, I mean, it wasn't like a, hey, it's just next to the foul pole. Some of the angles they showed looked like there was a pretty wide gap between
inside the foul pole.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so going to be the challenge of the two minor league parks, right? Is you don't have all the camera angles that you do for major league parks.
That and
the dimensions
also,
are fine.
Yeah, and something Judge references here in talking about the non-overturn.
It's not umpires. It's tough in a situation like this where at a minor league park, you know, the foul poles aren't as high. So that's why you have replay. They have every angle, and that's a fair ball.
I didn't know that was a thing, something I hadn't thought of. Foul poles, maybe not, you know, so when you get these guys like Judge are hitting moonshots. Doesn't
as
extend
high.
As high. Tougher call for the third base or first base umpires to figure out whether it's fair or foul. But the replay seemed pretty clear, so that wasn't a great look. Last one here, Aaron Boone going back to the Max Fried scoring change. He was not necessarily thrilled with that, even though Fried did end up giving up a hit in that eighth inning.
It makes it a little bit dicey when it's within the game, or you know, obviously with a no-hitter going on. So, but the reality is it was a hit.
The original play, which we discussed early on, but just an awkward dynamic situation for that Yankees-Rays game, minor league park, Yankee spring training home, an overturned error that becomes a hit, a home run that was fair but called foul, a lot going on. Bottom line is Yankees won the game 4-0, which is ultimately all that matters for them in the standings. Golf-wise, Justin Thomas, a week after the Masters, you get the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head, South Carolina, which was one of these elevated signature events with the bigger purse for the winner, and he had a birdie on the first playoff hole to win that event, his first PGA Tour victory since the 2022 PGA Championship nearly 3 years ago. And that event coming up in short order next month, which will be played at Quail Hollow in North Carolina this year.
Guys, I'm watching the video of the Aaron Judge home run. I have an official ruling.
Yeah, what do you got?
Go ahead.
I have no idea.
Really?
No clue.
I can't.
One angle. Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, the worst umpire ever.
I got to tell you, he's exactly right. This low pole is a disaster. I have no idea what's going on here.
Can I give you another headline that I just saw come across?
Of course, yeah.
The Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Nico Harrison is holding another press conference today.
For what,
guy's got to learn his lesson.
Yeah.
So they did like a, it was kind of a, it wasn't off the record, but he did a smaller group of media last week where you were not allowed to record with cameras.
Mm-hmm.
It was just certain members of the Dallas-based media, right?
Right. And no cameras, which makes me think you're not that confident in what you have to say, number one. And two, the only time I've ever seen that before, when I've been a part of it as a journalist, I was once a part of a Bud Selig scrum when Major League Baseball used to have their draft at MLB Network headquarters. And Bud Selig was there. Bud Selig was there. And he met with the media, but would not allow anyone to turn a camera on at their own draft.
Yeah. Now, that's a little different since it's league-wide national. I will say, from my experience covering the Jets, they would have a session either with
Woody Johnson,
the owner, or sometimes the GM, and they would pitch it as we'd go into their boardroom,
mm-hmm.
and they'd have like an extended sit down with the media, and everyone could attend. You could take notes, you could write down the quotes, but like for myself, who was there for audio purposes, for radio or TV, you could record to go back and listen, but you could not air it. And then when that finished, they would do what they called a multimedia session, which was less attended. You had like local TV, some guys that literally were just holding a camera, and it would last for a couple of minutes. So the good stuff was only in the written form, never in the audio form.
So Nico Harrison just did that, right? Remember the clunky, where he doubled down on the Luka trade. He just kept saying defense wins championships, defense wins championships. And then the president of the team at the time, Tim Welt, said this was like, I was there when the Golden State Warriors traded Monte Ellis. And was like, that's not the same.
Yeah.
So now he's going to have a press conference today, apparently.
Well, doesn't he have to meet with the media at some point?
But he did like, last week.
But really meet with the media.
End of season.
Doesn't he have to give a real press conference at some point? Actually, the way you said it, it's like, isn't that weird that Nico? I mean, I feel like it'd be odd if he never did a real televised press conference.
So I always thought that you had to meet with the media at certain times until Leon Rose came along.
Yeah.
Your New York Knicks. And that dude has never spoke. As far as I'm... No, he's never done...
Does something with MSG.
Yeah, like Breen.
Yeah, he did.
Exactly. Breen's the best.
As soon as he got hired.
We all know what the deal is.
So he doesn't meet with the media at all?
No.
He does not.
No.
So obviously you don't have to do this.
A normal general manager of a pro team has to address the media to communicate with the public. Like, you can't just... I mean, I think the Knicks are a weird one, but generally...
They get away with a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they're just an oddball team. So I think a normal team does have to have a press conference, right? Like, you're in Dallas. You're just got Nico Harrison. I think that'd be crazy.
First guess, though, because what he did last week, today, hey, I'm here, end of season. Any questions on the trade, he'll just refer back to what he said last week.
Did you guys
week.
See game one? Luka Doncic stunk it up on defense. I was
that's
right.
Right,
yeah. He's running out. Yeah, they lost. Let me get out in front of it now.
I was right, guys.
Can you do I was right after they lose one game to the Timberwolves? I don't know if you can do that. Anyway, CeeLo, thank you very much.
Okay. Defense wins championships, guys.
I've heard that before. Coming up, we have a lot more to do. We're asking you a philosophical question today. Would you rather make the playoffs and lose embarrassingly or not make the playoffs at all? That was a question that was posed on social media this weekend. Also, an update on Shador Sanders. Sit tight.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Get a little inspiration here as the women's part of the Boston Marathon just started. Congratulations. I mean, they're in a full-out sprint for 2.5 hours.
Unbelievable. I've been live at a couple of New York City marathons. They're running faster. If I was sprinting and when I was 17 years old, I couldn't run as fast as them. They keep it up. It's insane.
It's unbelievable how they do this. Anyway, so that's going on. Patriot Day in Boston today. Also, it's our pal EJ's birthday. We think it's today is EJ's birthday, Manny, or was it yesterday?
According to his Instagram post, I'm going to take a swing and guess that it's today.
We know it's EJ's birthday around today.
It's his birthday weekend.
Yes. So he's not here today. So I got to say, Pearl, we're Gallivant really light him. on the WrestleMania updates because EJ's not here.
By the way, I've never worked in an office before where there were mass absences the night after WrestleMania. This is the first time in my entire professional career that adults were skipping work for WrestleMania.
People go to the show. It's not in Vegas this year.
Yeah. Peter Bellotti and EJ Stewart did not go to Vegas, and they are conspicuously absent.
It's a once a year thing, and John Cena now is the unprecedented 17-time world champ.
It's almost stock like up. It's scripted. You know what I mean?
Listen, gonna get you in trouble around
final
here.
Year, and he wins at his final WrestleMania.
Who
saw that coming?
Well, give me some other headlines. I love hearing about this stuff. Paul I heard it was a little Heyman, chalky.
Paul Heyman turned on Roman Reigns.
Isn't that a baseball writer? Oh, that's John Heyman. No, that's I apologize.
Right.
Heyman had somehow hit Roman Reigns in the junk on.
And Seth Rollins was involved in that somehow, right?
Seth is the big winner now. He gets John Heyman in his corner. All right. So,
John Heyman.
Paul Heyman. Sorry.
He gets
take that, Bob Nightingale.
He gets early word on what the trades happening, the trade deadline are.
That's the big prize. Meanwhile, good for our pal Seth Rollins, because we've interviewed him now at three Super Bowls.
He's the best.
He's the man.
Other times too. He's great. Massive, massive Chicago Bears fan.
Huge. Feel bad for him.
Yeah. I saw it was his wife back in the mix last
Becky
night.
Becky Lynch, yeah.
Yeah, she's so back. She had a big night. Yeah, you're right. We're floundering without EJ here.
For our WrestleMania updates. He really is a crutch that we lean on.
I wish we had gone. We went last year. It was so much fun.
It was fun.
Let's aim for next year. I don't know where it is.
I don't either. But yeah, that was very fun, even though we were wearing costumes and we looked ridiculous. Jeff is in Tucson. Jeff, we asked the question, would you rather make the playoffs but get destroyed, like what happened to the Memphis Grizzlies, or just not make the playoffs at all?
Hey, Maggie, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate you.
How you doing, dude?
I'm good. So I would rather make the playoffs. And I give you a great scenario. You know, like, you know, I'm all Ohio. So we make the playoffs a couple years ago with a 38-year quarterback comes off the couch. And just to make the playoffs, I didn't think we were going to get crushed by Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Browns, when they made the playoffs, that was something that I really, you know, like the hope factor's still there. Mm. That's why you want to make the playoffs. The hope factor's still there, and we've seen many, many times that the underdogs do win, you know, and make it all the way sometimes. So that's my feeling on that.
Jeff, I'm and, with you, man. Sure. And you didn't know that Joe Flacco was going to throw, what was it, two pick sixes or three? I don't even remember at this point. But it was fun to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. And it was fun to watch, you know, even if he did throw all them picks. And the Shador Sanders thing, will the draft hurry up and go away? Because I'm so sick of hearing the Shador Sanders' name. You know what I mean? There's so many other people in the draft that are worthy of more time that the media is not giving to them. You guys have a nice day.
Jeff, thanks so much. I mean, could be somebody like Will Howard.
What do you mean worthy? Like, what? How do you be worthy of it? I understand. Will Howard. I mean, I think he's talking about, there are 20 other positions on the field.
We will certainly talk about them all in due time. Once we figure out where Shador's gone.
I think, Jeff's more accurate. We certainly won't talk about them, but they're actually going to determine who wins the next Super Bowl. I heard a headline that I think was so depressing. Daniel Jeremiah did his conference call, and somebody asked about the Cowboys, and they said, are they going to take wide receiver Tedrone McMillan or wide receiver Matthew Golden? And Jeremiah says, I've been hearing they're looking at interior offensive line.
See, I don't think that's depressing.
If they draft another offensive lineman, I am quitting my Cowboys content love. They can. How could that not be? That doesn't depress you?
Okay, they're picking 12th in this draft.
If they take a guard, Maggie, I'm going to throw my computer off this table.
Pearl, they can't do that. You've been reading as much draft content as I have, probably more. You know that this is a very deep wide receiver draft where the first guy off the board is not that much different, no disrespect, Tedrone McMillan, than the 12th guy off the board. So
counterpoint, they've drafted a lineman 47 years in a row. It is time they do something, Maggie. Well, do something.
They've got an old, hurt quarterback that they need to protect, especially in the interior against your Philadelphia Eagles defensive line.
Last year, they drafted Tyler Guyton. The year before that, lineman. Tyler Smith, lineman. Did they sign Derrick Henry? No. Did they find a wide receiver too? No. Do something exciting. That's all I'm saying. Again, it's fun. Yes, is it smart to draft a guard? Probably. Is it fun? Heck no.
It's so funny to me that we thought maybe Shador would be an option there, but that is so fallen so far away. It's just not going to happen.
Well, I do think, again, you do not want to be a coach who is in an iffy position with Shador Sanders and Deion over your shoulder. I mean, if Brian Schottenheimer, he's not letting Shador come in that building. You realize how fast he would be out of there for Deion to be the head coach?
That's amazing that you think Brian Schottenheimer is going to have his fingerprints on this draft.
Fair point.
Manny Rodriguez sliding over for EJ, thank you. By the way, WrestleMania is in New Orleans next year.
Andrew, we're in.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Great job. We'll see you tomorrow.
So great. Do you know his last name?
I do.
Say it out loud.
Thank you to Chris Lopresti, Andrew Kaplan, Quincy Avery, who joined us, and the Weedos.